Chapter 31. It was Lundquist on the line. Jesse said, "I had my hand on the phone to call you." "It's magic how that works." I doubted. Lundquist was curious. "You don't believe in magic?" "I believe in evidence and taking the first pitch. I like magic because I don't mind being fooled when there's nothing at stake. Why were you calling me, Jesse?" "Leon Oscar Vanderkamp?" "Who? Guy sounds like he should be conducting an orchestra." "You're not far wrong. He's the head of the Saviors of Society. He's a real piece of work. We got a hit on his fingerprints from the flyers. No offense, Jesse, but their involvement wasn't exactly a secret. It says it on the damn flyer." "His were the only fingerprints on the flyers." "So?" "So I think he's close, and that's not good. Nothing good comes with him. You said you'd hook me up with some guy from Homeland Security." "Sorry, Jesse, I have a lot on my plate. I've got other cases besides Felicity Wildford, but she's why I'm calling."
"What about her?"
"Brain dead. She's about to officially become my responsibility. The parents are on a South Pacific cruise, so it may take them a few days to get here to say goodbye and to pull the plug. Worst part of the job, dealing with the parents. Does it ever get easier?"
"Gets worse."
"Worse?"
"Knowing what's coming can be more a curse than a blessing."
"You're a cheery bastard, Jesse."
"Thanks. No wonder you and Healy got along."
"You asked," Jesse said.
"Stephen Randisi."
"The boyfriend? What about him?"
"Would you say he's about my size?"
"An inch or two shorter. Why?"
"I have a witness says the SS flyers are connected to a guy he described as looking like a soldier. Says the guy's about my size."
"You think it's Randisi?"
"I'm not sure what I think."
"Geez, Jesse, the guy's got a prosthetic arm, and I've had a few talks with him. He seems genuinely upset over what happened to Wildford."
"So did the mother who drowned her kids and then went on TV and cried about her kids were kidnapped. She seemed genuine, too."
"What's with you? When we first met the guy, you were ready to blow him off as a suspect. Now he's at the top of your most wanted list."
"I'm just working with what I've got, Brian."
"Fair enough. Let me get on the Homeland Security thing for you."
"Thanks." Jesse didn't bother putting the phone back in its cradle. He called Chief Forster. Forster's voice was subdued.
"Sorry, Jesse, I meant to call you, but..."
"I heard. I just got off the phone with Lundquist. Terrible thing. Violent death usually is.
I don't know how guys like you and Lundquist do it. I never had the stomach for it. That's why I worked community relations as soon as I got out of uniform."
Jesse suppressed a laugh.
"That experience will serve you well. I don't figure your citizens are going to react well to a homicide in Swan Harbor."
"You have no idea."
"You'd be wrong about that. So, did you show the photo to Roberto?"
"Randisi's not your man. He said no without hesitation."
"Good."
"Says the guy you're looking for approached his crew only once. The guy was wearing desert camo and boots. He's square-jawed, keeps his blonde hair cut real short. He's big through the arms and chest."
Jesse asked, "Anything else?"
"His eyes."
"What about them?"
"Opaco. Roberto said he didn't have the American word for it, but I looked it up."
"What was the word?"
"Opaque. He said there was no soul behind the soldier's eyes."
Jesse had mixed feelings about his conversation with Forster. Part of him was glad Randisi wasn't the soldier, but that left him with nothing but Vanderkamp's fingerprints and a knot in his belly.